presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Pretty interesting piece in ESPN as they took a look at their preseason top 25 and the player on each team that kind of most needs to step up here in 2017. And I guess it's probably not that big of a surprise when it comes to the Georgia Bulldogs. The player that gets mentioned is quarterback Jacob Eason. The quote here, and I'm going to read from Edward Ashoff, who wrote the snippet on Georgia. He says, Jacob Eason started 12 of the 13 games he played last season, threw for 2,430 yards, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He wasn't perfect, but he has all the potential in the world. Still, if Georgia's going to win the SEC East, which so many people think it will, Eason's got to turn the corner as a passer. The next steps for him are understanding defenses and his playbook more, along with becoming more of a leader on and off the field. I think Georgia fans probably agree with Ashoff on that. I think Georgia fans who are deeply plugged into the program may say, well, Eason needs his offensive line to be better if he's going to be better. Eason may need a little more help from his wide receivers if he's going to be better. And yet, the overall kind of highlight view from 30,000 feet would suggest that as Eason goes, so goes Georgia here in 2017. So is Jacob Eason actually going to be better? To use the phrase that ESPN uses, is this the year that Jacob Eason actually turns the corner? Well, if you believe Kirby Smart from this week's SEC Media Days, then the answer to that question might be yes, because it seems like there's been an evolution in the way that Kirby Smart is talking about Jacob Eason. Go back to the spring when it was all about competition, competition, competition. We want to see Eason get pushed by Jake Fromm. We want to see Eason get challenged by Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm's going to make Jacob Eason a better quarterback. Well, at SEC Media Days this week, that's not exactly the way that Kirby Smart was talking about Jacob Eason. The idea of Fromm really pushing Eason, being in the same conversation with Eason, that seems to have gone away, and Jacob Eason seems to be Georgia's quarterback. And when Chip Towers joined us on Bud Light's SEC Country Live on Tuesday afternoon, I thought he had a great description of this. He followed Kirby Smart around during the day, and for those of you that don't know much about SEC Media Days, it's essentially as awful as it sounds. You know, the coaches and players show up, they do some radio interviews, they'll do some TV interviews, they'll do some interviews for the print people. They essentially walk around a hotel ballroom and a hotel lobby all day long, giving various quotes to various media outlets, and Chip walked with Kirby Smart for most of the day. And listen to the way that Chip describes the way that Kirby talked about Eason throughout the day and the evolution, even over this small, you know, couple-hour period in terms of Smart's public confidence in his quarterback, Jacob Eason. Here's Chip.
It's kind of been a pretty constant shift that we've seen from the spring until now. Starting off with Kirby Smart, obviously, was very vocal about how Jake Fromm was here to compete, here to push Jacob Eason in the spring. And I think we all saw that he did that and certainly comported himself well in the G-Day game. But fast forward to right now, and you know, in certain terms, he kind of got bolder as the day went on. I actually kind of met with Kirby earlier this morning in a private setting, and then he was in the main room. And then for my Towers take today, I kind of followed him around a little bit, and he kind of got stronger the more he was asked about the situation, to the point there he finally kind of declared there toward the end that yeah, Jacob Eason is our starter, and unless Jake Fromm beats him out.
Listen, I'd love to tell you that I don't have experience with what Chip's talking about there, but I know exactly what that's like, and I think many of y'all in the audience probably do as well. We tell a story to our friends, and then we tell the same story again, and then we tell that same story again. And by the time we've told the same story four or five times, we've really talked ourselves into something, and we've really kind of ramped up the evidence to support the point, whatever point we're trying to make. And it sounds like maybe that's what Kirby Smart did in terms of talking up Jacob Eason on Tuesday, getting more forceful with his praise of Eason as the day goes along, maybe talking himself into Eason a little bit here, in turning the corner and being better in 2017. Which, if you're a Georgia fan, makes you say, boy, I just hope that Kirby Smart really believes what he's saying. I hope that he's buying himself what he's trying to sell to the media and to the public. And there's good reason to wonder if that's really true. I mean, go back to G-Day for a moment. If we're honest here, even the most ardent Jacob Eason supporters within Dog Nation would have to say that G-Day wasn't the best day for Jacob Eason. The growth that you hope to see for him in year two, You didn't necessarily see that from him on G-Day. And back on that April Saturday, Kirby Smart was there, admitting that maybe it wasn't that great and trying to calm people down and reading too much into the G-Day performance. Here's Kirby from back in April.
I think that Jacob understands our offense better. He knows the checks. He knows where to go with the ball. He understands when to put us in the right play, and that part I'm pleased with. You can't judge him just based on today because he throws some electric throws, but then he's got a throw where we go empty, and he makes a bad read, throws an interception there that shouldn't happen to him at this point in time.
And listen, I don't think Georgia fans do want to judge Eason on the basis of just one day. What I think Georgia fans want from Eason is just simply some evidence to kind of back up what ESPN says he needs to do and what Kirby Smart says that he has done. And unfortunately for Georgia fans, G-Day didn't really provide that. The overall stat line that day, it wasn't very good. But here's Kirby Smart one more time to remind Georgia fans, maybe don't pay too much attention to those stats.
It's hard to assess sitting out there while you're in the midst of it. I like to watch the tape and judge it. I know the numbers indicate he was a little bit below, I guess, 500 throwing it. But, again, a lot of those situations dictate that. When the defense knows you're throwing the ball, you're going to throw at a lesser percentage.
Now, if you had a chance to listen to yesterday's episode of Dog Nation Daily, I talked to Seth Emerson about this very point. And I thought that Seth, who is a great objective journalist, but in this case, it seems like he is taking Kirby Smart at his word here a little bit. You can listen to the full interview yourself, but it seems like what Seth is taking from what Kirby Smart had to say is that there may be some evidence that Eason, away from the watchful eye of the media and the TV cameras and the fans and everything else, doing that work on his own, is getting better as a quarterback. But the important part of the phrase that I just gave you is work done on his own. Remember, the summer is a complicated time in college football, especially when it comes to the quarterback position, because it's the time of year that you spend away from your coaches, but it's also the time of year where you got to put in the work to get better. I thought that Dan Mullen, the Mississippi State coach, had a great description of that this week when he talked about his own quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald, and he kind of laid out the complicated relationship that exists between coach and quarterback during the summer. Probably true for Mullen, probably also true for Smart when it comes to Jacob Eason. Here's how Dan Mullen described this earlier in the week.
There is always comfort when you have a quarterback that's played coming back. We have Nick Fitzgerald, started last season for us, coming back, had a pretty solid year last year, led the SEC in total offense, and had a great year running the football. Quarterback development, everything is about constantly improving how you throw the football, and so hopefully he's having a great summer. You know, we can't be with him. There's a huge amount of development that goes on in the summertime at the quarterback position. When you're not around, what they're doing on their own is going to determine a lot of your success. But we need him to continue to improve, continue to grow, and continue to develop.
So Kirby Smart suggests with Jacob Eason, his quarterback, that the competition is essentially over, that Eason has gotten better enough, that he's not being pushed by Fromm anymore. He's the guy, it's his position, and there's nobody else in that conversation. But a lot of the work that this would apparently be based on, as Dan Mullen just described, is work that's been done away from the coaches because of the limited contact coaches get to have with their players during the summer. So it all leads to the bottom line of this whole point. Is Eason really ready to turn the corner as ESPN says he needs to do? We'll see. Kirby Smart seems to believe that he has, but Georgia fans, I think, are going to need to see some evidence on the field before they're totally buying into that line of thought. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us. Facebook Live, 10 a.m. each and every Monday through Friday on the Dog Nation Facebook page. At noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Good to have you with us on the radio if you're in the Athens area. And, of course, podcast form, anywhere podcasts are found. iTunes, SoundCloud. We'll post the show for you at dognation.com. We appreciate you listening to Dog Nation Daily as a podcast. We think that's probably the most convenient way to access the show really anywhere in the world, any time of the day or night. So make sure you check out Dog Nation in podcast form. And, of course, a lot of talk around these offices these days. But the Dog Nation invasion coming up to South Bend this September. And, of course, as we all head up there for that big one, it's brought to you in part by our friends at Kroger, who remind you that you can now renew and print tags at select Kroger locations. That's right, vehicle tag renewal kiosks. Now available at participating Kroger locations around Atlanta. So check your local Kroger to find out more about that, or check them out online at Kroger.com. That's a great, convenient thing for you, and I'm glad to know that Kroger is providing that. Now 106 days away from Georgia, Florida, world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville this October. We're also excited about that one as well. If you are too, we'd love to have you go to shopdognation.com, get your Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirt. I think we have all the sizes in stock right now. Let us know if you don't find yours. We'll restock that store for you. and also free shipping. If you go to shopdognation.com, you can get your Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirt. My good buddy Mike Johnson coming up here in just a moment. Going to be fun to have him on the show today to talk about what happened for Georgia at SEC Media Days, the stuff that we just got into with Jacob Eason. We'll do some of that with Mike Johnson here as well. It's good to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy SEC Country's Mike Johnson right now. And we'll say hello to Mike Johnson here on Dog Nation Daily. Of course, look forward to having you join us for Bud Light's SEC Country Live coming up later on this afternoon on the SEC Country Facebook page. And, Mike, I'll say good morning to you. And if you don't mind, I want to go back and talk about something we were discussing here off the top of the show today. And that's, you know, ESPN, interesting statement about Jacob Eason, that they say it's time for him to turn the corner here in 2017. And if you listen to Kirby Smart at SEC Media Days this week, you get the sense from Smart that he believes that Eason is ready and capable of doing that. Do you think the evidence is out there that Eason really is himself ready to take a dramatic leap forward in his sophomore year and going from being a good quarterback to the kind of quarterback that you could build potentially a championship team around?
Yeah, it's definitely some interesting words out of ESPN. I mean, you have a guy going into his second season really there on campus and expecting him to turn the corner. You know, I don't think he'll be at his peak this year. I think Jacob Eason is one of those guys that's going to continue to rise, especially when you look around the SEC and it's becoming more and more of a quarterback-driven type of league. But I don't think we've seen the best from him yet. And until we see him on the field this year, it's going to be hard to guess what he's going to be. I do expect a lot of improvement out of him, though. And Kirby Smart's talked a lot about the offensive line. Obviously, we think we know about the run game. But you just need to see the gradual, you know, upward advancement of his game. And I think that he's always had all the physical tools. He can rip it with the best of the guys in the SEC. He can throw downfield. He knows how to change you know, the launch point and the angles of some of his balls. I think he just has to get better at reading coverages, throwing the ball on time and making sure that he can make plays from the pocket. I know that another year under Jim Chaney and being in college and getting a little bit more used to that playbook is going to spell a lot of success for him.
You know, you played, you've been around coaches both at the college level, the NFL level, and I'm sure the NFL level, they don't do a whole lot of what I'm about to describe here, but the college level, I imagine it happens more. When Kirby goes to media days and talks up Eason, do you think that's truly his belief, that he's truly seen the evidence to support what he's saying? Or is part of this the, you know, psychological coaching ploy of saying, hey, my guy's been kicked in the pants, now he needs the pat on the back? I mean, which of those two things do you think this was with Kirby and Eason this week? Kirby believing that Eason really is ready to turn the corner, or maybe thinking that a little positive talk might actually push him in that direction?
It's such an interesting thing, too, because I think it goes along with whatever coach you're talking about. I think when you talk about certain guys in the SEC and in the country, it might be the first part of what you're saying. They really honestly believe the saying. But for me, Kirby Smart, it's a little bit of coach speak. And I think that he spent a ton of the offseason, especially since Jake Fromm has been on campus, talking about Jake Fromm's ability, you know, that he's a hard worker and that, you know, he's in the meeting rooms and he's watching film. You know, that's kind of a parting shot there at Jacob Eason. And I think that Kirby Smart has really spent SEC Media Days trying to, you know, and not really take that back, but kind of wind it back in, saying that Jacob Eason is our guy. You know, we expect him to, you know, come up leaps and bounds this year. And it's a little bit of me hoping that Jacob Eason's paying attention and that Kirby Smart has his back. Hey, we haven't forgot about you. You are our starting quarterback. You know, you're the only quarterback I've really known there at Georgia, and I hope that you stick with us for a couple more years and we do good things together.
You're an interesting person to talk to on a day like this because you've actually experienced sort of both sides of SEC Media Days. You're covering with us. You're in SEC Country this year, but back in 2009, you actually went through it as a player. You weren't one of the guys that got poked and prodded by the media all day long, and I know you know what the goal here is if you're a major college program. That's to kind of get in and get out unscathed, no real controversy, nobody saying the wrong thing, and from that standpoint, I think George and Kirby Smart probably accomplished that goal this week because, Mike, I don't know if you've noticed like me, you know, I kind of looked at the national coverage, the regional coverage. Very few people writing too much about anything that Kirby and the Georgia players had to say. If they were looking to kind of have an uneventful, quiet, get-in, get-out media days appearance, I think for the most part Georgia got that done, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I know that Kirby Smart was sleeping well when he got home from Birmingham. He was feeling good about their appearance there at media days. I mean, things can go south in such a hurry. And I think that, you know, when you're SEC media days, every media outlet in the country is really paying a ton of attention to what's being said. Not only that, but your mannerisms. And I think that when you're a guy like you know, Kevin Sumlin, who's on the hot seat, and he kind of stumbles through a little bit of his press conference. When you're a guy like Nick Saban, who's coming off a national championship game loss, when you're a guy like Butch Jones, who is known for some of the quotes he's had at media days in the past, you know, the best thing you can be for a guy like Kirby Smart is just to not put yourself on that plateau with some of those guys. And they did that successfully. I mean, he handpicked the right guys to go and represent his football team. I thought all those guys did a great job when they showed up to Birmingham. And it's not that they didn't have great quotes. I think that all those guys were extremely friendly, and all those guys were probably beloved by the media by the end of the day. But not saying anything controversial is a huge step, especially for a head coach that's going into year two as a head coach, not just with the program, but as a head coach overall. Kirby Smart, having seen that happen in his days at Alabama, knew what to expect, knew what he wanted out of this weekend. So I think that moving into year two, it's made him a little bit more relaxed and made him know what to expect when he gets to Birmingham, and I think it was mission accomplished for him.
So in a lot of ways, I guess what we're saying here is that Georgia's appearance at SEC Media Days, maybe the exact opposite of what it's going to be for Ole Miss here on this Thursday. For a lot of the people maybe waking up and kind of figuring out this news that kind of broke throughout the day yesterday, former Ole Miss coach Houston Nutt, also Arkansas coach as well, but former Ole Miss coach Houston Nutt filing suit against Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss for really, I guess the phrase here is defaming his character after kind of blaming the NCAA stuff on the majority of it on Houston Nutt. That turned out not to be true. I mean, Mike, this is one of those great SEC soap operas. What do you make of this story?
It's just crazy. And I got to be honest with you, I hope that nobody ever dislikes me as much as Houston Nutt obviously.
Boy,
dislikes
I tell you what, listen, this is a guy who spent a lot of time thinking about how exactly do I maximize my opportunity to ruin Hugh Freeze's, I don't want to go so far as to say ruin his life, but certainly ruin his career potential. I mean, this is Houston Nutt absolutely getting a measure of revenge in a big way against Freeze. I think it's a real strong move against Freeze on the part of Nutt, for sure.
Absolutely, and it's like he looked at him and said, how can I get my knife to cut as deep as possible when you talk about this program? And listen, he was already going to deal with a ton of these questions to begin with. I mean, this is a football program that's obviously been under NCAA investigation. You know, the sanctions are coming. They've had a ton of stuff in the news dating back to Laramie Tunsil's draft night. And it's been a debacle. And I think when you've seen Ole Miss and their AD kind of step behind Hugh Freeze and this coaching staff and really take their back, maybe they have, you know, wronged Houston Nutt in some different ways. I don't think we're going to get a ton out of Hugh Freeze today, but, man, you talk about just a hurdle. You have to go into different rooms. That's the thing about SEC Media Days. Is it's not just one press conference. You're not just answering that question one time. You're going to move from radio station to radio station. You're going to move between rooms. You're going to go to the TV cameras. You're going to go to the SEC Network set. You're going to do the press conference. That question is going to pop up. And, you know, five or six times today, he's going to have to say, well, you know, it's pending, legal investigation or, you know, it's litigation, and I can't comment on that. But at some point, you know, there's a chance he's going to slip up. And Hugh Freeze, obviously, in the past week, we've seen him a couple times, you know, hasn't handled this very well. So it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out today and how he's able to kind of respond to some of the inquiries that he's going to get from some of these media members. But I think the most interesting part of it, Brandon, and listen, you can back me up on this, the media members are a part of this lawsuit. I mean, you've got eight writers that are probably all in attendance today that have been named. And then Houston Nutt is saying, hey, you know, Hugh Freeze did y'all wrong. He has lied to y'all about what's going on. So it's going to be interesting from the other side to see how those guys also handle the line of questioning.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point. This is also one of those things, you know, since it's not my favorite team and the team that you played for, you know, we're kind of out of the controversy. Therefore, we can kind of Monday morning quarterback it from afar and kind of have a fun time kind of debating how all this should be handled. And first of all, when it comes to Nutt here, I mean, we're talking about a degree of difference mathematically, okay? So of the 21, I guess, serious violations, 13 happened under Freeze, 8 happened under Houston Nutt. That's my understanding of this anyway. So it's not like they called him, you know, some sort of terrible, you know, accused him of some sort of terrible crime or something like that. They said the majority happened under Nutt, the majority happened under Freeze, but this is the difference between 13 and 8 here, not the difference between 20 and 1. So from that standpoint, I don't know necessarily quite how aggrieved Houston Nutt should be over all this. And to me, this is another example, Mike, if I'm Ole Miss, and I know this is going to drive you crazy, but I mean this. I think at this point in time, you're all in on Freeze. And Freeze, you know, calling up these reporters out of the blue and lying about this and creating this false narrative, if that indeed did happen the way that it's kind of laid out that it happened, that's obviously probably despicable. But everybody who's ever done anything like this has also lied about it. I mean, lying just kind of is part of the deal when it comes to stuff like this. If you're Ole Miss, you've gone too far to turn back now. You got to stand by this guy and you got to defend him even through all of this. I don't think this changes anything in terms of what Ole Miss's public position has to be on all this. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. And listen, I think they've already gone, too far to turn back. It's been the point of no return. If you're, the AD Ross Bjork over there and that whole administration towards Hugh Freeze. I mean, they have really strapped themselves to the wall with this guy and kind of handcuffed themselves together that, we're going to go down swinging with this guy as our head coach. And listen, I hate it, but I think it's a smart move by Ole Miss. I don't know, under NCAA sanctions, I don't know what coach is going to be rushing to Oxford, Mississippi. And Hugh Freeze is taking that program to new heights. I mean, when Houston Nutt left, they were 0-8 in the SEC in his last season. Hugh Freeze has been able to come in and really turn them around and bring them to new heights in a short amount of time. So it's probably the right move. I hate that it's the right move, but when you look at it from a football perspective, it's kind of the only route they could have taken. It just stinks that supposedly behind closed doors and on closed phone conversations that Hugh Freeze has tried to save his own butt and has, looked to Houston Nutt as kind of an outlet, for some of these questions he's been getting. I can't wait to hear Houston Nutt's side of this. I can't wait to see how this all pans out in the near future. And listen, at this point, Hugh Freeze just seems to be happy he still has a job and hopefully can work on from this.
What do you think, and there may not be a good answer to this question, but I am still curious. Most conferences, they just play football. And they have some winning years and some losing years and some good years and bad years, and people get upset over whatever, but it's mostly just football. But in the SEC, every single year there's some sort of crazy soap opera. Why is the SEC so addicted to drama? Is there an answer to that question? And for what I do for a living, it's great, especially when it's not my team that's kind of wrapped up in it. It's fun and it's entertaining. But the SEC seems to a certain degree addicted to this kind of stuff. What is that about?
I have no idea, and you're right. There's not a good answer to it. I just think that there's a extremely passionate following. And listen, as well as I do, when SEC fans smell blood in the water, I mean, it's like, it's a feeding frenzy. And I think it's just that's the nature of the beast when you talk about some of the passion that's in and around these programs. And, just to give you an example, yesterday I saw the question posted on Twitter to Cole Kublik, a guy who we've had on the show, about, who he thinks will finish last in the SEC. I mean, there was not a good answer to that question.
Yeah.
It was going to be a feeding frenzy no matter which way he went. He selects Arkansas, and everybody is just absolutely tearing him a new one. So it's just that's just part of it. And I think that, that lends to the passion. That lends to some of the great fans we've had there on SEC Country Live in the comment section and also with your show and some of the guys, I've been able to interact with through Alabama, fan bases.
Sure.
And it makes it a lot of fun on a year-round basis to be able to, talk about talking season and all the things that Steve Spurrier used to say. It's so true. And this is, this is the unofficial start of the year. And it's talking until it's not talking. And so until we kick this thing off with Alabama or Florida State or whoever else leads off the season, we're going to hear a little bit more of this.
Last thing for you, Mike. Today is Auburn at SEC Media Days, and there's a lot of hype, building for Auburn. I've contributed to some of that, although it's even gotten out of hand, even for someone like me who thinks they can be pretty good this season. With Malzahn and the players that he's bringing today, how much do you think they're going to embrace some of that? This idea that they could be a playoff contender, that Jarrett Stidham could be a Heisman quarterback. I mean, there are two ways to go here. There's the way of, we're not paying any attention to that whatsoever. We're going to downplay Jarrett Stidham. Some coaches this week have downplayed their quarterbacks, even though we know they're going to be the guy. You think Auburn tries to downplay Stidham today? Do they downplay the idea that they're a threat to Alabama in the West? Or do they just embrace this and try to build some momentum of maybe positive vibes in terms of an optimistic conversation? Which direction do you think Malzahn chooses to go today?
Boy, I wish they would embrace it. I know that you feel the same way. I wish they would just come out and say, Alabama should have a target on their back. They should be worried about the Iron Bowl. Well, we're coming for them in the West. I don't see it happening. We've seen Gus Malzahn go through this, for the last few years. And, going into year five for him, he's kind of a, not a gee golly gosh coach, but, he kind of talks with that little accent and talks out of the side of his mouth and, has a good standing with the media for the most part. So I don't see him saying anything outlandish. And I think that he's going to bring players that will do the same. you know, they're still a team that's on the rise, you know, hasn't accomplished a ton in the last few years. And so I expect them to have that approach throughout media days where, hey, you know what, we're getting to work, but we haven't done anything yet, and there's still a lot of games left in front of us to play. So nothing outlandish I wouldn't expect from Auburn and company as they get, you know, through this Birmingham media days. But you just never know, man. That's the fun thing about these press conferences from Hoover is there's always the chance that something flies out of somebody's mouth that you can hang on to. And I know that, you know, a lot of people will be listening very closely.
Without a doubt about that. Mike, we'll look forward to listening to you closely today. Coming up 3 p.m. Eastern time for Bud Light's SEC Country Live. We'll also have some extra editions as well coming up on the SEC Country Facebook page this evening as we look at all the teams, South Carolina, Auburn, even Ole Miss, and that'll be a spirited conversation as they make their visit to SEC Media Days today. Thanks so much for your time, Mike. We'll see you this afternoon.
Can't wait, brother. Day 4.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, hope you will join us for Bud Light's SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern time today on the SEC Country Facebook page. It's been a fun week, and of course, we always have a great time doing that show, talking about everything in the SEC, and of course, plenty of Georgia stuff coming up for you as well on Bud Light's SEC Country Live at 3 p.m. Eastern time today on the SEC Country Facebook page. And obviously, a lot of what we do on today's show is going to kind of center around the Ole Miss discussion and that conversation and how much, you know, Hugh Freeze does speak to that, how much of that he tries to duck. And, you know, for me, and I said this to Mike Johnson a moment ago, but it does become kind of become the game we can all play along with of, you know, how do you handle this from a PR standpoint? It's almost like if you watch House of Cards or one of those, you know, TV shows, you know, how do you handle the political scandal? How do you keep this from, you know, turning into something bigger than you want it to? How do you kind of keep this relatively quiet? And Ole Miss's ability to do this is going to really be challenged here because, as Mike Johnson said when he joined us on the show a moment ago, the fact that Freeze tried to use the media only means that the media now is not going to help him whatsoever. And, you know, y'all know how this goes. It's, what is the phrase? My Latin is always terrible. Is it quid pro quo? Is that the thing when if I do something for you, you do something for me? There's a lot of quid pro quo, I would imagine, that goes on in the high levels of the elite college football media. And I would imagine there's not going to be a lot of tit for tat back and forth between those guys and Freeze now. But, listen, I mean, if you're Ole Miss, what are you going to do? You're not going to get a better coach than Freeze, especially now. And, you know, you're kind of so far down this road to kind of try to cut bait at this time. That probably feels like a mistake, too. I think you've got to fight this thing all the way to the end, and you'll eventually probably lose. Your program is going to be set back a decade. But you know, this is the decision you made when you started walking down that path. But how about Houston Nutt here? You know, former Arkansas coach, former Ole Miss coach, the kind of guy that I would imagine Houston Nutt's Wikipedia page was probably lighting up with a lot of younger SEC fans who may not even really remember this guy as an SEC figure. What a vindictive move on his part. And I tweeted that out last night about, boy, I hope I don't ever make anybody as mad as Houston Nutt is. I hope no one ever hates me as bad as Nutt hates Hugh Freeze. And a lot of folks tweeted back to say, well, you know, Hugh Freeze did him wrong. And that's probably true. He probably did do him wrong. But in this coaching profession, this college football world, there's a lot of doing wrong back and forth. I mean, there's a lot of dirty stuff that goes on with these colleagues. You know, these guys publicly pretend to be friends, but they're stabbing each other in the back all the time. Very rarely do you see someone go for the public retribution that Nutt is going with Freeze, the perfect timing of dropping this lawsuit right before SEC Media Days. It will be a feeding frenzy for the team that talks about its Landshark defense. There will be a feeding frenzy of media around Ole Miss today. Now, I don't know that Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze gives the media much on this, but, man, it'll be fun to watch this play out. The other teams on hand here for SEC Media Days on this final day of the event are Auburn and South Carolina. And let me start with Auburn, then I'll talk about South Carolina for a moment. If you're Auburn, you are in a tough spot here because, on the one hand, I think that morale is a little low for Auburn fans at the moment. You got Pat Dye talking about leaving the SEC West. You've got national media talking about the gap between Alabama and the rest of the SEC. You got Minka Fitzpatrick this week who, you know, didn't even count Auburn as LSU's biggest rival. I mean, these are not high times on the plane, so to speak. This 2017 team might be good, though. So do you embrace that hype? Do you not? Do you buy into it? Do you let it go? I imagine Malzahn, because he's generally pretty careful, I imagine he tries to sidestep some of that, even downplaying Jarrett Stidham, which no one's going to buy. But there's almost an attitude of, it actually might benefit the Auburn program to see if you can generate a bit of a conversation today. Because there's competition for attention within the state of Alabama there. All that's going to the Crimson Tide right now, maybe Auburn can get some of that. South Carolina, obviously this is mostly about Jake Bentley, the quarterback who will be there on hand today. Bentley's going to get a lot of attention. We'll see how that goes with him in terms of maybe even getting some all-conference votes at the quarterback position. This preseason all-SEC quarterback, you know, vote could be pretty interesting when it finally comes out and we see who that first-team guy is. I assume that it's going to be, you know, Hurts by default simply because of what he did last year. But I think you'll have a lot of contrarian votes there as well in terms of people who believe in Bentley or maybe even buy into Stidham, maybe even one or two votes go in the direction of Jacob Eason. That could be interesting to see. And then, of course, we'll also be looking to see how the media votes in terms of its order of finish, you know, in terms of, you know, who gets picked to win these two divisions. Is it that split decision between Georgia and Florida in the East? Is Florida actually picked ahead of Georgia in the East? Whether the SEC country staff suggested that it might be earlier in the week. That'll be one of those fun things to watch out. And, of course, by the time many of you hear the show, that may already be public, but we'll make that your SEC through. All right, so we close out SEC Media Days here on this Thursday. And as we start looking ahead to Friday here on Dog Nation Daily and looking ahead to the weekend, it's a gigantic recruiting weekend for Georgia. You guys, if you've been following along at forum.dognation.com, and you know the visitor list on the way in for Georgia, obviously headlined by Justin Fields, what he's going to do at Auburn, then what he's going to do at Georgia. The tricky challenge here is, and I almost hesitate to say this because some of y'all are going to get bummed out, Jeff Sintel's on vacation. Now, listen, there is nobody in the world who's earned a vacation more than Jeff. He's been working like 100-hour weeks now, going back, you know, forever. And the whole time we've been doing Dog Nation Daily, he has barely taken any time off. So tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily, we're going to attempt to do the impossible. We're going to try to cover the big recruiting weekend without Jeff Sintel. Try us and see if we can get it done. Of course, we look forward to talking to Jeff when he gets back. But it is a big time for UGA recruiting, and we'll talk about it. We'll see you then.